the understanding that what I had too, and just until recent times, I think, with the presentations and whatnot, it's kind of like the lemonade example that was made. It's kind of was to our understanding that if we put 10 and you put 10, we're both coming to the table, and if this place made 100, it's going to be able to thrive even better. But it's kind of like, I guess, the question and answer thing that we're going through here and trying to find out what page is on, is that if this place is thriving and it's making $300,000 a year, as the hospital board, and I can only speak for myself because we're all individuals, but as a member on the hospital board, it's to kind of my understanding, thinking, why do we keep coming back? Not that we don't want it to be successful. I've built this place. I was lucky to be part of the construction of this place for the city for 7 years. I love the place. We all do. But why would it not be thriving? Because we hear on the amount of new memberships and the new this and the activities and the weddings and all the parties that are here. So I guess it's just to my understanding that why are we still having problems when this is what's coming in? But it's because, I guess, explain if that's legal and if that's okay and that's the way it was worded, that that's what's going to happen. It wasn't to our understanding that if you're supposed to put 100, but you made 75, you only put 25, and that's where the discrepancies are.
So that is. So now we're starting to understand how your thinking was different than
right.
how the city was interpreting this.
Mm-hmm. But it's common sense. I mean, what Rick just said is common sense. And that's something that we have to work at to be more transparent and to make things easier to understand. I mean, when I was working for the city of Visalia, all my budgets, everything that I had to turn into the city manager and have approved, they had to be understandable to the common person. Line by line, understandable, or else he'd send it back to me. And that's how it should be here. There shouldn't be a big old fund here that this is here, this is there, but yet it's not stated. And that's something that I have been very vocal about, and I will continue to be vocal about until we fix it.
Well, actually, I think in some ways it has been stated but this has been shown as a loss. Like the wellness center, what we put into it, it ends up on our budget as a loss. And so you might say, well, the wellness center is losing $200,000 a year because we don't have that money to put into it. So that would take a whole different way of looking at it. You know, we'd have to have some line item that says, recreation, we budget $200,000 to it every year, no matter what it makes. That's not what we've been doing. We've been like trying to increase the, the membership and the rentals and stuff like that, so that we can fill that hole.
Right, and it is a hole that we're trying to dig ourselves out of. But we have to be transparent and truthful about what we're doing.
I'm on our finance committee along with Teresa, and we talked to our accountant about this problem you're talking about. He said, just opening a wellness account. We write a check every year. You guys write a check every year. The revenue that is generated in the center goes to that account. Get it out of the general fund. Make it simple.
Yeah.
Well, where did that come from?
There's a city budget that's published each year. That there is an entire section dedicated to the Wellness Center. It has a section in the written part in the budget. It talks about its objectives, the staffing, accomplishments each year, all of that. And then later on, there are schedules dedicated just to that. It's very clear where the money comes from, what it's going to. It's transparent.
You know,
it's truthful.
Our argument is, if you guys aren't looking your fair share, that's what it comes down to.
So
you've got 5 years in front of you. We're not one of the eight masks, but you're supposed to.
I want to say something. I read the contract, and I understand where you guys are coming from. And I know I don't know how misinterpreting the city said they misinterpreted whatever. But I don't remember reading in the contract that whatever we don't make, or as much as whatever the wellness makes, we're only going to pitch in, let's say we make Rick's saying, if we make only 100 or 100 is made and they put in 200 and we're only going to put in another 100, that doesn't make sense to me.
It almost says, in my opinion, almost says.
And I just want to know where is the contract is based, how you are interpreting, or how the city is interpreting, or how they're interpreting.
So
I don't understand.
So I might just add, I mean, the MOU
where it says things that we're moving towards self-sufficiency.
So we want it to be sustainable. We want it to, so the effort has been trying to move it towards where it could sustain itself. And then we give what we can to help with programming or something, but that we can meet our, you know, can meet the budget itself. So
well, but that's not what the agreement was. The agreement about to produce what would be needed. It's to produce $200,000 a year. Because Lisa's constantly coming to us wanting money for this and that and the other, and it's probably just, for sure, it's justified. But it's like we are getting to the point where we're going to be cutting other programs. We're running at a deficit as well.
And it's not so like how you said, like if more comes out of the general fund, that takes away from law enforcement, and as a citizen of India, I would hate that to happen, but that's also outside our jurisdiction, because we support, this is something that we can fund, it doesn't fall within our...
So the legal language in the MOU is not clear on the source, and so we have a difference of opinion of what that means. And that's the part that is really driving a lot of this, where that wellness committee, planning committee, is supposed to be the group that plans this out, but it hasn't been functioning the way that it's described in the MOU. And so we've got the presentation so the audience can get an idea of what's going on here. Everybody's clear on different parts, how the pool fits into it, all of that. The culminating event then is to have this discussion of what goes on with this planning committee and how to establish that in a way to address this MOU, to get it so that it's clear, instead of having vagueness in there that has been this point of angst.
I agree.
So we have Restoring Lives then. This is Joe Cadena, a social media post from his instructor, the Strength and Balance class. My respect, one of my students kicking butt, 6 months living a healthy lifestyle, love it, changing people's lives. Strength and Balance class, 8:30 a.m. on Monday and Wednesday. You can see the pictures, the significant change he's had there in his life. And this one is absolutely phenomenal. This is Cynthia Gomez. In less than 2 years, she dropped 70 pounds by her activity here at the Wellness Center. And the transformation of the individual's life is invaluable. Congratulations, Cynthia. She's a powerful witness of what the Wellness Center can do for its members. She's an absolute rock star. Keep inspiring all of us to be as brave and strong as you are. Thank you for supporting transformations like Cynthia's. I'm going to go to the outside, because the Wellness Center is not just the indoor. It's a swimming pool, too, and all of the health and wellness that goes on out there. So there's 144 swim lessons each year. The general public use consumes 6% of the pool time, about 186 hours a year. And then the classes, therapy, and training is the other 94%, or over 2,700 hours a year in the pool are dedicated to health and wellness. Giving back, this is Shannon Patterson. I think she spoke tonight, right? So she would have said everything she would say else. All right. This is Janine Greener. Okay, well, we'll skip over that one. All right, let's see if I get this to work. We're running two computers tonight.
At Skimmers. This is my fourth year. I've coached ages 7 through 14, and I also just became the LHS assistant swim coach this last summer. And I just wanted to say on behalf of everyone here at the Lindsay Wellness Center, all our staff, we are so grateful for all you guys do for us and our board. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Alexis Leon, I'm a junior at LHS. I just want to talk a little bit about the Lindsay Wellness Center and how it's been such a great impact, how it's had such a great impact on my life from a very early age. I started off doing skimmers here, and I actually had one of my very first swim meets here that inspired me to want to be able to swim throughout high school, and I will continue to do so the next 2 years. And this is actually my first summer working as a lifeguard here at the Lindsay Wellness Center, and I think it's just been a great experience for me to be able to see my community. You guys have so greatly sponsored, and it's just an amazing thing to see the kids grow from their first class, and I just enjoy seeing everyone have fun and enjoy the facility. So thank you so much for everything you've done for us.
Alright, let's run along similar lines there. We'll skip through. So then the path forward, this is what the balancing act is right now. We have the changing lives here in the center. We've welcomed Omni Medical. Again, open on in the evenings twice a week to provide services, and then looking at the weekends as well. Increased city investment, hired experienced management, welcomed many silver sneakers. Expanded partnership with Healthy Start, secured valuable pool maintenance contracts, welcomed martial arts classes for those with special needs. I don't know if you've heard about that or not, but it's in the evening once a week. Really remarkable class there. And then partnering with the school district, or school districts for swim lessons for learners. In the area, learning to swim is not something that's as common in Hispanic cultures as it may be in other cultures. There's nobody that don't know how to swim. And so the school district recognized the need to help save those lives there and have been setting up services here to have the talk here at the Wellness Center. And the precarious situation is they're operating on a skeleton crew. They don't want to close a pool or other facilities. The need for general fund reserves, capital equipment, and repair costs are, we're hitting kind of the end of life for a lot of the equipment. Need help to avoid going backwards, excluded from budgeting discussions in some ways. Covering an increasing share of expenses and the hospital district's consideration of any of the extra funding that we saw on that chart earlier. And so then it comes to the questions from stewardship, unity, and continuity. So how will the Lindsay Wellness Center Programming Committee improve its effectiveness? How can the city demonstrate its improved fiscal responsibility? What will the Lindsay Hospital District do with the taxpayer money it is accumulating? For the unity, what can the city do to help the hospital district heal from past offenses? And how can the hospital district and the city each improve the partnership? The continuity, are there program changes the city could make to satisfy more of the hospital district's requirements for existing? And then how will the hospital district continue to qualify as a hospital district if the Wellness Center closes?
Why is that even
there?
That's never
been.
I know.
Because it's expensive.
It came up with those questions.
What's that?
It came up with those questions that you just read.
These are questions based off the financial situation with the center. If that extra funding closes, the city can't handle cover the additional, and would lead to.
So you're saying the city came up with those questions?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess that would be my question. Is the city saying that they can't fund their end of the hospital board, the Wellness Center? Because the hospital board is not saying we can't put up our fair or our end. We're saying here's your money, and we do it every year. But I think it's like all about transparency. If the city can't afford to pay what they said that they're going to pay, which is $200,000, and if you really look at the numbers, you're paying $185,000, then just say you can't pay that money. You don't have the money to pay. We all know what financial situation and crisis the city is in. So that's where we just
That's part of the thing. So the city thought it was putting a big share. So if it needs to come up with, $200,000 from a different pot, then that's a real problem because we don't know where we're going to get it from.
Madam Mayor, may I speak for just a minute? There's no intent to confuse, to complicate. The MOU simply says the city provides this much money. We provided that much money, at least in spirit, we thought we were, before there was an Omni, before we had a Pro PT. And what's happening is, as these things come in, granted, we would love to see that money be used to make this really, really nice. We have no cash reserves. You guys have had cash reserves, and so you haven't experienced that. But we see that the way the MOU says, the money simply, the city provides that money. It does not identify the source of that money. So is the source of that money a tax? Is the source of that money the Friday night market, the revenues that we get from that? What's the source of the money? And that is a struggle I think that the board is having is you want to see it from a separate source of money, and that the money that is earned here comes into that. And that's something that can be potentially done and discussed, and that's kind of where we would like to go, is have a dialogue, create an ad hoc committee between two hospital board members, perhaps those that are on your health advisory committee, which is what the programming committee is, what's supposed to be the program committee, and then our representatives. You talk, you hammer through the MOU, you can have a facilitator, we can provide a facilitator, but you come up with something that makes a lot of sense, and then you take it back to the council, to your board, and see if it's acceptable or not. But to provide clarity and an understanding of whatever the deal is, it's a deal that we can all live with, because it's very evident that there's a misunderstanding. And it's not done intentionally, guys. It just says, we provide $200,000, we do it. You know. But we're saying, if we hustle to get an extra business in here, we're being penalized for it.
I was born and raised here. Whenever you say you're going to give $200,000 to this, that means to me $200,000 plus revenue generated.
But it doesn't say that.
You're never going to make money, and the Wellness Center will continue to not be able to provide the services. That if it's making more money, it should be able to provide more services. It should be. If it was a private business and you got $90,000 from Marietta, it would be able to provide more. We've satisfied our MOU.
But just so the public knows too, is what's happening is we're giving our money, the hospital board, your money, it's taxpayer money. We're putting that back. Half of what we're collecting is going to fund this wellness center. What's happening is the city is taking the profits from what's happening, membership money, and they're using it to fund their half. So what's happening is Lisa's coming back over to the hospital board and saying, hey, our engine broke down, or our pool's not working. And what we feel like, hey, shouldn't your profits, because you're doing so well, every time you come back, you've got new members, you've got new tenants. Shouldn't those be used so that you can buy new machines, so that you can fix the engine? But we're putting up that money. So we're contributing more and more money when it should say, hey, you at some point should be self-sufficient.
The only correction I would like to make on that, Valerie, is you haven't given more money in regards to the discretionary fund.
But we have given.
It's been less. It was $112,000 when I got here. It was cut $40,000 to $72,000 for this current fiscal year, which is ending June 30th. And now we're going into the next fiscal year, and it's
$62,000. Let me clarify, though. But that's extra money. So we're already giving, again, half of what we have in our account. We're already giving that. She's talking about extra money that we're putting in when we get bills. Everything else. Shouldn't that extra money be coming from the profits that you're making from this wellness center if you're doing well? Because it is doing well.
The wellness center does not operate in a profit. And it won't. Having to pull the size of the space.
It will never operate with you.
It wouldn't.
And it's fine. Here I am, I see your point too. I have family that sat on the other end of the table. So I understand what situation you're in. But it's just to then say, hey, we can't fund this money. We need help here from you, hospital board. We need help paying for this. And that hasn't been said.
Well,
it's
we need help.
Around
Let me
table.
Say that. Because that's the case.
But here's the thing, too. If they can't do their part, what are we going to do? We cannot let this wellness center fail.
So do we talk to the Delta and we tell the hospital, or the ambulance, and we tell all the other programs we fund?
Are we a Delta?
We're a community. We figure it out. We pull together and we figure it out. I'm not going to let this place fail. And I would just hope
let me say this.
A again, so transparency.
Everybody should know we've been working on a real fiscal emergency situation. Things are getting better, but they're not better like just yet. Okay, we need like a little bit more time. If we have to create a line item in the budget that's called recreation or wellness or whatever that gets funded at $200,000 every year, we need a little time. We need our cannabis taxes. Or we, you know,
well, I like his idea. But you know what? I like his idea about
something. Okay. The hospital board just pays $233,000 for debt service. Debt service is about $130,000. That's how much you pay in payments according to your budget. So whatever is excess there must be, it's front-loaded back in, I think. But regardless, the way it's written is that $233,700 is supposed to go for debt service.
Yeah.
And looking at your budget, the payments on debt service are about, interest and principal, are about $130,000 per year. Okay, having said that, so there's an additional amount. The second part about it is there were years, and I think Greg McQueen pointed it out, in 2015, city contributed nothing. 2016, they contributed $210,000. 2017, contributed nothing. 2018, contributed $174,000. 2019, which is the fiscal year that just ended, or is ending, anyway, contributed $84,000, $86,000.
So something
so
to point out on that.
The city has been backfilling, not fronting the $200,000, even though the hospital district has paid more than
so those documents talk about the transfers that were approved in that year's budget.
Correct.
When I came about 2.5 years ago, there was it was over $1 million in negative cash balance here at the facility, which means the city had put in more than $1 million in addition that wasn't as a transfer. It just came out of our books. And the city's had to backfill that amount. And so it's more than met this $200,000 a year over the last several years. It's just not in that transfer. Yeah, I can show the transfer schedule. They have that schedule. Sure.
But see, this is what we have, in all due respect, you know, and I'm not a numbers guy, so I'm not questioning you on that. But this is all we have. You know, this is all we have to go off of. And someone that's not a numbers guy or a financial service type, whatever, I can only read this and try to translate it to the best of our ability. You know, it's sure you understand where we're coming from. And I don't think it's in anyone here at this table's goal to see it shut down, because that's totally not what this is about. I think it's just the clarity of everything, because in simple math, if you put 200 and 200 and they make 200, we're 200 ahead of the game. But that may not be the case, because it's more of a numbers thing and budgets that are deeper than maybe my knowledge can handle. But we see it as we put 200 and we're thinking that 200 comes from all year, and then she tells us of the almost a disservice to her hard work if everything she's out there striving for to build this place up, but it's just to get balanced. It's like nothing will ever go above level. Kind of in my thought process is if 400 is like the level, but every time she makes 200, it can't ever go past the 400. It's how do we make it more successful? And that's what. But I'm also not naive to not understanding the financial situation.
Just for example, Joe Blow rents this place, top floor, for $230,000. Would the city get $30,000 for a furniture? You would count that towards your $200,000 for what you're doing now.
The $30,000 for McDermott?
Wellness, as you were.
No, it would stay the facility.
Oh, okay. Well, you're just saying you're offsetting the income generated for what you owe. From what our understanding of the MOU is.
No, so that's for this point of difference. Is that the MOU doesn't say that it's $200,000 a transfer from the general fund. That's not the legal language in the contract.
Okay, just answer my question.
So if there's extra revenue generated here to get it closer to breaking even, then they get reinvested here in the facility. Money doesn't go from the Wellness Center to the general fund. Everything that's generated here stays here.
So what about the years you paid nothing? How do you
pay?
So I can bring you those documents and show you.
How do you not pay anything when you're supposed to pay something?
That transfer schedule came from budgets that were not well kept. The city, in actuality, had over $1 million that flowed into the facility.
That's that week.
Correct. But over that 3-year period, versus $200,000 a year. And so the city has had everything that, when this place has not been able to break even, the city's had to supplement that from cash from the bank. When that happened, that money was coming from other funds. And so the city has been, just by paying checks and paying expenses for the facility, it's been far above the $200,000 that it would. And so the MOU talks about the $200,000 contribution. There is a function built into the system for the two members of the board and two members of the council to be on this committee to sit and figure all that out. The MOU has not functioned the way it's supposed to, and hasn't for years. And so you have an opportunity to come together and figure out how do we address this to create an MOU that works for both groups, that can sustain what's going on at the Wellness Center, and then there's no more confusion over it.
So, yeah, and that's you know, is our next agenda item. What can we discuss using this committee that we recreate? It's already in the MOU. We haven't called it by the right name. We haven't had it doing the right things. But we can try that. We can give that a go and see if that helps. So if everyone is in agreement with that, we could at least organize that. And it can be as simple as the city council's been calling it the healthcare committee. The healthcare committee was started in 2001 by Mayor Saucedo. And their goal was to do something about the empty hospital and the revenue stream for the hospital district. You know, how can we utilize this? What are we going to do about this? And that healthcare committee came up with the idea of the Wellness Center. So they kind of fulfilled their mission. But the city council's still been calling this committee the healthcare committee and not really knowing what they're supposed to do. So we need to get our act together a little bit better and call it what it should be, the programming committee, and work more closely with the hospital district. We can't all of us sit down and hash out everything in public meeting all the time. We need, you know, the committees to do that work and then bring it back to our respective boards. And then have this kind of meeting, maybe annually, you know, not every 10 years or whatever we've been doing.
Going on, we weren't clear on what the vision or mission of that committee was either, and it just kept being passed on from person to person. So it was nice that
you get new people on it, and they don't know what it's supposed to be. So we have to get back on it.
So that committee's responsibility is to plan in 12-month increments the programming that happens at the Wellness Center to determine how to fund those programs. That's where Lisa's supposed to bring all of right is. And right now, as she goes back and forth between the two, you've got a staff person trying to approach both elected bodies when there's a mechanism in place for it to function the way it's supposed to that's not working, and it leads to a situation like we're in.
Well, I think you can expand it beyond just reviewing the programs and the things that are going to happen. You may want to expand it into a level to where you're talking
well, about. Well, you discuss everything, and it can be reviewing the MOU and the budget and all of that. As it was originally organized as this healthcare advisory committee, it had 5 members, 2 from the hospital district, 2 from city council, and then 1 from somewhere else. Originally, it was the school district, and then it became the medical community or whatever.
Oh, member at large.
Member at large. We don't need to have that 5th member. That probably just monkeys things up. In my opinion, I think this should just be a meeting of, you know, 2 representatives from each board. They don't make any final decision on a vote, so it doesn't need to have that 5th member. They just have the discussions and bring back suggestions to
to the full boards and councils. So that would be my suggestion. Okay, is this on here as an action item? That's my question about forming an ad hoc committee.
Well, the thing already exists, and you have the ability to form an ad hoc. And if I could comment, folks, again, we want transparency. We want to be on the same team because I think we've heard, and you know, we've got a gazillion testimonials about how important this operation is, and there's a lot of angst about how it's funded. And we own that we haven't been great communicators. But our goal is transparency, clarity, and understanding, and we are proud and appreciative of the work the hospital board has done. The other part of this is the way the agenda was set up was you called the meeting. We wanted to share the presentation because we were concerned that you were going to pull back, and we wanted to show the worthwhile things that were health-related that were happening. You've been able to speak in frustration, but do you have something that you need to present to us?
Well, let's just say we did call the meeting. It seemed like it was more 80% city council, 20% up. And it was more, we're going on your agenda based on, didn't really recognize our agenda even though they're available. Again, you keep talking about this partnership, so then I feel like, transparency needs to start here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so also acknowledge that, yes, we create an agenda. Yes, we're trying to get something in because we didn't get this presentation, and it's going back to the basics, you know, communication.
Mm-hmm.
It is unfortunate that we have to communicate like this in front of, you know, our residents here in Lindsay. Some of the discussions and dialogue seems unprofessional. Had we had this ahead of time, I'm sure your council members, did you guys get this ahead of time? Did you know what was on the PowerPoint? Okay, well, that's all you have, right?
And
so
with the people were speaking, I have a feeling they think that they kept looking at us and saying, you guys are going to shut us down and shut us down. I don't know what was presented to the community. I don't know what was said.
It was a sense that we had to. From the request for the meeting, there was a sense that the hospital district might be pulling back.
Forever on that loan. So, I mean, how could this even get up? This is what shocked me. Just slapped in the face.
Yeah.
My God, all these people,
they
just got to close
this place.
That never even has entered any of our minds. It's never even been brought into our board.
Well, again, the communication part, you know, it's coming to us in a fashion that you're unhappy and potentially going to pull back.
I can say, too, also, about maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, it's kind of like in one of our board meetings, we sat there and we talked also, too, because of the thought process of not understanding how the funding comes from the city. And no matter, basically what I've learned tonight, is it doesn't matter how or what we have to do to get to that number, as long as we get to that number. And that's from my understanding. But it didn't seem that way to us. So we thought, as a hospital board, we all voted it. It wasn't to cut back the funding to the wellness center and punishment, but it was almost our thought of, just like my kids, if I never push them as they become adults and cut his gas money off when he's 25 or 26 years old, he's never going to become self-sufficient or want to work that extra little bit fill in that gap. Do you understand what we're trying to say?
Yes, we're all children.
and we recognize that you've gone above and beyond the call of what you're obligated to do. We recognize that. So the hope would be that if you need some time to present to us, you do have that. Although, again, I know there's a lot of frustration on everybody's part. We apologize for that. But staff's goal, and I think council's goal, is to work in partnership to improve communication, to improve transparency, and to have some document that we all own and we say we're okay with.
$200,000 more. So, you know, that in itself was eye-opening to me. It's like, well, why is the budget
increased so much in 1 year, over $200,000 in 1 year. So from 2019 to 2020,
sure.
It's $221,000
yes.
more.
And part of that is that in the past, we have not had a good handle on what this actually costs. So this budget is finally showing this is the true cost of the staffing and everything else that goes into it. So that difference, the city was having a subsidy on the side, outside of anything that was in the budget. And so this new number gave you a true picture of what and what the center costs are like.
So is it kind of what happened with the McDermott?
They were in the same boat, where you were having more costs here than what the district were generating, and it was having to supplement from others. That's what the different resolutions were that we talked about when you came into office, went through that process of vacating those and dealing with them and dealing with the water and sewer refuse. All of that is tied up in these two facilities. The Wellness Center has never operated at even break-even level. It's always been more draining than the budgets said they were going to, because the prior budgets weren't solid enough to really show you how much the facility costs.
And I appreciate all of these. She comes like very informative, and I appreciate everything she does, but it's really hard for us. We don't know what it costs to run it. And we're seeing that half of our budget is going to the Wellness Center. More than half of our taxpayers' dollars are, so we're thinking we're supporting it and we're doing a good job. But if we don't know how much the, you know, and she's not able to tell us that, so we really need the transparency of this is the budget.
Well, and we've been working really hard to get to that point, and unfortunately, you know, it hasn't been that clear in the past, as Brett said. So,
it's still not clear.
Is this not
the true cost is what I'm talking about.
Is that what we're saying? These are not accurate numbers?
Which year is that? That's 18-19.
But it covers from 2015-18, 15-16-17.
There were more expenses associated with the building than what we're going to
This is not accurate.
And that we had to move, the city was paying for more things than that budget showed.
Why isn't it on the budget?
There weren't appropriate financial controls in place at the time.
Yeah, but you can't publicly put it on the budget or add an extra page so people know about it. That's where the transparency needs to be.
So the budget that's coming out, it's posted online right now. You can look at the 1920 budget. Give you a clear look as to what the full cost of the Wellness Center is. You can find that on the city's website. You can click on City Hall, drop down the document library, scroll down to finance. It's the second and third item on there. One is the budget, the other is the presentation that explains the budget.
So then it's fair to say, up until last year, it could possibly mean that the wellness was making money, but it was given to another, say the McDermott?
No, it's not made money.
Never
made
money.
So
where they were saying it was a zero, that we contributed zero, so wouldn't the whole chart show a zero if we weren't making money?
That's your information.
The transfer schedule that was approved by council at the time was zero. The money was being spent outside of that transfer process. That's the thing that we've been mending the last
when it says it was zero, that was not accurate.
So that means the entire that we're looking at, if we thought online, it's probably not accurate.
So when it says in 2016 that there was $104,000 profit made in the Wellness Center.
It's never made a profit. It's never made a profit.
That's not good in test service.
That's the same thing that happened with the McDermott. It never made a profit, but yet it was running for 10 years. So where was that money coming from? Was it coming from the McDermott? Because everything's put in the general fund.
McDermott didn't make money either.
Yes.
But the thing is, you guys were getting grants for the baseball park and then siphoning it to the McDermott.
No.
What I got to say is there's obviously a lot of new ones, and hopefully we sit down, and not hopefully, we will sit down and we'll work together
because
it's in the best interest of all of us. But I had a question for Lisa one time, and I've also told her, and she can probably tell her, I always feel like she gets attacked when she's doing, and I tell her, please, it's not personal. Question is
like the Godfather move.
And so it's not that we disapprove of her doing, we think she's doing a great job. But I asked her a question. And I
pretty sure she told me no, but do you feel that at some point, I'm a barber, simply. I know that I can only work so many hours in a day. If I did 100% of the time that I walk in to the time I leave, I can only make this amount. I can only do so many haircuts an hour. So I know at the end, I know what my max life income is going to be. Is there an idea that this thing was fully functional, every square inch of this building is being rented, activities are thriving, swim lessons, people are coming from communities all over. If this place is 100% operational, rocking and rolling, will it sustain itself? And I think she told me no.
The pull is the issue.
Well, we have to come to an understanding that this building, no matter what's done, will never be self-sufficient.
It won't.
And even if let's say what the hospital board has, and we're fortunate to have what we have, but we have to be diligent with what's in our savings to the best of our ability. Even if we liquidate that, a couple million dollars or whatever it is, at some point, the place would be broke again, and then we would be, half of our funding comes here for the next 10 years, and the other half is the program we help, senior deals on Meet of Wheels. We just funded a public information, $50,000 to help the senior citizens eat in our community, which we felt was a great thing to do. And at some point, if all we did was only fund this place, we wouldn't help any other entity or organization or program or anything else in our community. So I think, like, in that work, it would be in our best interest to sit together and say, what can we do to get this place at the max level of income to where it can help sustain itself? Because it is beautiful.
So there are certain constraints on how much of the property itself that can be leased. With the USDA loan that we have on the property, they have requirements that can't be more than really about what it is right now. We can add, if Ami wanted to expand this wing, take down the bottom floor and finish upstairs on that wing, that's about as much as you can lease of the building. When they ask for square footage,
right,
I conveniently included all the pool area too and said, all of this is the building, so we're within your parameters, so we're good. Facilities like this, particularly those with pools, will never, ever self-sustain. You can't charge enough for people in the pool to use them. And so it's always going to be something that's subsidized from the general fund. It's going to be subsidized from whatever source you can find. With this one, of the different things that you fund, matches most closely with the requirements you have in your state statutes of what you can provide money to. And so I think the council and city has seen that as a good match for that, because it helps give you a means to use those taxpayer dollars.
Nobody's arguing that. Nobody's arguing that.
I think that the concern has been that those extra funds, while you're not required by them when you provide them, are vital to the operation.
Do you know how those extra funds came to be? We voluntarily, when Marie was here, decided to give her more money to make this thing work a little better.
Yeah, no, we understand that. We appreciate that. It's been essential.
We were going to wean you off of it.
Oh, well, we don't know how to. We're worried that you're going to wean us off of it because we don't know how to.
I think that there have been some board members that have felt like we're going to reduce the amount of extra money every year or whatever it may be. And I think that not everybody feels that way.
Going back to what Bill and Grant were talking about, you know, transparency, communication. I mean, it states on your website, Risk of Lindsay, Local Hospital District Board of Dramatically Reducing Funding Support. How do you think that makes us look to?
It's 12,000 dramatic out of it.
No, I know, but I mean, that's the impression you're giving residents, like, we're not interested, we don't want to pull out. It's about the language. I mean,
okay.
You want to be respectful?
That's fair. I didn't know that was
going to. Let me finish. Do we need to put something on our website? Speaking about the city of Lindsay, I hope, exactly. We want to be able to collaborate, but those are kind of like staff. And I, you know, personally, I take that personal because it's like, I got elected by the people, you know, to be able to question things, to be able to speak my mind, to be able to voice out different things that people have concern. But the language itself, I mean, we're all professionals here at this table, so it's just, again, respect, common courtesy. And honestly, this is my first time seeing that. So to be able to want to collaborate in a positive environment after seeing something like that?
I want to apologize because I got some information and maybe it wasn't all of it, because what I came today was totally different. So I want to apologize for whatever's put up. Don't count me in that.
But I think it's fair to say there is this genuine fear that the board our board is going to reduce the extra funds.
Well, that's fair. There is that fear. I mean, I have that fear because I don't know how we manage without it.
And
if something breaks down, how do we even find money to fix it?
We've given less, as Lisa said, right? It's gone from 100 to now 60 or whatever it is. So there is less money going in. So I understand why that was put in, or and where that fear comes in. But I, as individually, want to say that is not my intention, is to pull the rug out from anybody, especially Lisa, who's working so hard to make this fail.
And again, that goes back to the simple thought process that if you're putting in and mm-hmm. we're putting in, and we hear of the school district paid, $30,000 or something like that, or I don't remember the exact numbers, but I'll quote you on that. They put in for the use of the pool. So we sit back and we hear of contributions that are coming here. So we thought, if we scale back to 12 grand, that's 12 grand that it has to be voted on, obviously, as a board. But that's maybe 12 grand that could go to this organization, or we could, or like we said, like the senior, they just have a mass Tuesday night. But it's obviously that was not under the same understanding of how it worked. That's where the miscommunication is. And
yes.
It's not been like that we're drastically cutting back because we don't want to, and then that misleads the public that we're not doing, or why do we even have a hospital? Or if we don't have a hospital, that's the only thing you should be funding. But I think a lot of people in this community don't realize on a lot of things that we do fund.
Yeah,
and exactly.
I didn't know.
Exactly what happens if we don't have a hospital board, fund goes to Exeter, goes to Porterville, and I would hate it.
That would be the very worst sentence if we don't
exactly.
have a hospital board, because this place would fail.
Then it goes back to Sacramento.
Yeah,
doesn't even go.
That money doesn't stay
there.
I just hope that we could fix things on our end, because I know as an elected official as well by the people that we have to cater to our community and be truthful, be upfront, be transparent, and we need to listen, not just what we want. I've said it before, these slides, it's fine and dandy, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to conduct business and to find out exactly what each other needs. And right now, we need their help. Just plain and simple. We're hopeful that we're going to get a budget that's easily understandable, because we have been requesting that since we got elected. And boy, it's like pulling teeth. But hopefully, going forward, now we know. People are looking. And as they should. It's their right. Just like they're taking care of the community, we should be taking care of the community. Not hiding things and transferring funds and all that stuff. No, that has to stop now.
So one of our problems, not a problem, but we get about $1.5 million revenue a year for people's tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We're paying $300,000 to this place, 100 days of diabetes, and another 50 that we decided to give to Meals on Wheels. So obviously we're upside down.
We have a gun program.
And then we support the gun program.
Yeah, so diabetes gun program, CSET, Exeter Ambulance, the Lindsay High School Medical Pathway, defibrillators to the fire trucks, Clea Delta funding. So this is something that we're definitely going to be updated on the website, so you guys know that it needs to be very transparent. So if there's any questions, you can definitely.
But we are not in business to provide support for this place strictly.
Right.
It's just one of the things we support. So if you guys, I almost got the impression part of your presentation that we have all this excessive money that we should just give it to you guys. That's how I read it.
Yeah.
Plus, you said that everybody here was negative towards us because we're going to close the center.
And that's
I just wonder how that started. People just show up thinking we're going to close it. That really kind of upset me, to be honest with you.
I was just going to add, you know, as far as, you know, continuing and collaborating and making our relationship better, I know that in the past, we've done presentations where we do presentations to keep people in the know of what's going on. So maybe that's something that we should do as board and council as well. Let's present to you guys at some point in your board meeting. You guys present to us the same with other stakeholders like the school district or other people that we collaborate with as well, because we're getting information by hearsay. We're not going onto the website. We're not going into the agendas and the minutes, whatever, because topics come up in conversations or whatnot. But if, as the elected officials, as the official boards, as the city council, we have the information directly from the source, there's no way that that information should get convoluted with other people's opinions or other information that they bring to the table. So I think it would be a good practice to start that, to set up where not only do we have an annual meeting, collaborative meeting, but also presentation to the board, to the school board as well, and other stakeholders that may benefit from the information.
That would be great. So I actually asked for this budget in May, because I knew we had to vote on it Tuesday. And I gave you the information after we voted on the budget. And, you know, have you had more information? If you know that every June we're going to vote on a budget, put it on your calendar. Come in April.
Yeah.
You know, come in April.
Be proactive.
You know, it's just, I work in accounting, and I mean, I work with them really closely. I'm HR, but I work with them really closely, and you have a budget, and if things come up, and we know that, you know, if it's short and the heater goes out in the pool, please, you know, she can come to ask us, and you know, we need this fixed, and we're not going to let it go down. But we also have to have a number to put down. And if we don't have a number to put down, we have to keep our budget as well. So I understand the city's budget. I understand the short. I understand all of the problems. I mean, we all read the papers. We all know it's all about the city. But we also have a responsibility to our taxpayers. And we have a responsibility. We have to file our budget. Public record.
Yeah. Well, I think we can agree with the formation of this new committee that hopefully, moving forward, we will not.
I think we can take the existing committee and then actually appoint from the hospital board two members, appoint from city council members, and then you can define maybe the role and maybe finance and staff and each side. But I think you've already got the thing in place.
So we do. We already have the thing in place.
We just need to understand what it needs to be doing.
We didn't have any action items for the hospital board. This is a discussion.
Right.
Nothing more.
They were clapping. They obviously heard.
I think everybody heard everybody.
Yeah.
So can we all just say we're sorry and have a group hug? And
folks.